So, do Christ followers get a calendar full of Caribbean cruises? No. This story actually sent us the not so popular reminder that getting on board with Christ can be getting soaked with Christ. Therefore, Christ followers contract malaria, bury children, battle addiction, and as a result face a number of fears all day, every day. It's not the absence from the storms that set us apart, but it is whom we discover through the storm, an unstirred Jesus Christ. God does not want us to live in worry or fear. He wants us to live with a bold confidence in his power. In 2 Timothy verse 1, he tells us, For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. In the Bible, we see a pattern where God rarely sends people where their confidence level is high. Rather, each time he promises to be with them in their fear. It's God's presence, not comfortable circumstances, that make people bring out the best version of themselves. God told Abraham to leave everything and to go into a land he did not know. And he said God himself will be with him to change the world. Abraham went and a new nation was born. God told Moses to confront Pharaoh, the most powerful man on earth, and that he himself would use Moses' faithfulness to deliver his people. Moses confronted and God delivered. God told Joshua that if he would be a strong and courageous leader, God actually told Joshua if he would be a courageous and worthy leader, God himself would go with him and bring his people into the promised land. Joshua was a strong and courageous leader. He was courageous when everybody else wanted to go back into slavery. Joshua was strong and God himself gave them the promised land. Over and over, we see this pattern repeated in the Bible. David faced the giant Goliath. Elijah faced 700 prophets of Baal. And Daniel faced the den of lions. Always God was there in the midst of their fear. The pinnacle of this pattern is seen in Jesus himself, who said to his followers in John chapter 16 verse 33, "In this world you will have troubles." Nobody has had more troubles and tribulations than Jesus. But after his death and resurrection, he sent his Spirit to be a transforming presence for a whole new community. When Stephen was martyred, Paul rose up in his place. When Paul was executed, Timothy carried on the torch. Just in case we think those stories were all in the past, historian Everett Ferguson tells us, he calculates that more people have been killed for their faith in the past 50 years than during the first 300 years of church history. So here is Jesus' word for us. When someone doesn't like us, when our boss gives us hard time at work, or when we have difficult children. In John 14, verse 27, it says, "My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." The peace of Jesus is something much deeper than self-help techniques to manage stress. It's much deeper than anxiety reduction to make our life pleasant. It is the settled conviction that goes down into the core of our own being, into our belly, where rivers of living water can flow, that all things are well in God's hands. Therefore, all things will be well, and we can live without worry or fear or burden. Paul said, when we live in the flow of the Spirit, he does not make us timid, but instead gives us power and love. This is not the only place in the Bible where we see a close connection between receiving love and living in power. The Apostle John makes the same association in one of the most famous statements in the Bible, in 1 John chapter 14, verse 18. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." When we live in the flow of the Spirit, we let the perfect love of God wash over us until our fears begin to leave us. The transforming presence of the Spirit will open up pathways in the wilderness. Isaiah's prophecy lives on. It is still alive today. God loves us not because we are perfect. God loves us because He is perfect. God doesn't love us because of something we did or did not do. He loves us because it is His very nature to do so. God wants to love us, and by loving us, cast out our fear. There is nothing more that God wants us from us than our intimacy with God. So how can we get this intimacy with God? Maybe it comes when we are alone with God. Maybe we find it when we pray with a few people. Maybe it comes when we are listening to a sermon or reading a book. Maybe we find it when we are singing a hymn or listening to music. Often the Spirit will use other people to help love cast out our fear. One of the most powerful ways to stop the spiral of worry is simply to disclose our concerns to a fellow Christian in prayer. The simple act of reassurance from another human being becomes a tool of the Spirit to cast out our fear. Paul explains God's part in this process is that, he says so in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, "The peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." That's a promise. Paul is referring to the peace that God Himself has, the serenity that characterizes the very eternal being that God is. The promise of God is that Spirit will stand guard over our worry and fear. It's not just us trying harder. When we tell God about our concerns and worries, we are actually taking off our worry. When we ask God to help us, we are putting on God's peace. Therefore, prayer, turning our concerns, handing our concerns over to God, is the part we play, allowing the peace of God to work in our lives. so that God can stand guard over our hearts and our minds. Living in his peace is not something that involves only our inner thoughts. It also flows from what we actually do. The Spirit helps us to grow in peace by leading us into situations which we would normally try to avoid in fear. Here, our role is to move forward in trust, embracing challenges despite our anxiety. We need to take a step out in trust. We saw earlier reading the peace doesn't come from finding a lake with no storms. It comes from having Jesus in the boat. We need to trust our God enough to directly confront our greatest fear. The Bible and prayer are not given to us as forms of anxiety avoidance. In the long run, anytime we avoid doing the right thing because of our fear, we die just a little inside. So, when we are worried about money, everything inside us tells us, hoard it, hang on to it, to obsess over it. Suppose we say to God, God, I'm out of my debt fear, help us, help me. We are then putting our worry in the trust department. We are worried about a project at work, but instead of procrastinating, we say to our God, God, I can't do it alone, help me. And then give it our best shot. Each time worry returns to us, give it to God in prayer. We say, okay, God, I will take the risk, even though I don't know the outcome. In essence, we are telling our God, you're wonderful. There is no problem you can't solve. No need you can't meet. I'm casting all my care on you. I know you love me, and I'm not going to get into depression and defeat. I'm trusting you to conquer my enemies, break down all the doors that are locked, and give me victory. God then sends his angels to fight our battles. We live in an age of exaggeration and mass hysteria. If we were to trust the media, most of us would have been dead through some deadly disease by the age of 25. There is really no place safe enough to live. There is no forms of transport secure enough for us to take. We have no jobs, no money, no investment, no nothing. We have floods, we have snow, we have ice, we have Al-Qaeda, we have terrorism, we have the lot. We worry about all this and we live in fear. We forget the maker of all things. But we have the cross, haven't we? Why don't we put all our fears at the foot of our cross, lie down and take rest, trusting in our God? We go through life just one time. Some wonderful things will happen to us. Some dreams will come true. Some terrible things will happen, bringing with them pain, worry, anxiety, problems, disappointments. Of that, we can be certain. But we can go through life worrying about worries constantly. Or we can go through life knowing that God is in our worries with us. So people, if you are a champion warrior, if your life through modern day demands to be self-sufficient and successful, if your life feels like a desert, and your general view of life is that of a barren desert from great heights, remember, Jesus came to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy. He's alive today. He can fill our lives with glory and grace. That is not to say we won't have worries. We are likely to experience fear, but it will be limited. It cannot cripple love. It cannot shatter hope. It cannot erode faith. It cannot eat away peace. It cannot destroy confidence. It cannot kill friendship. It cannot shut out memories. It cannot silence courage. It cannot invade our souls. It cannot reduce eternal life. It cannot quench the spirit. And it cannot lessen the power of resurrection. Therefore, the choice is ours to live or not to live a life worth living. This is kind of a sermon. I wouldn't call this a sermon because I'm not a preacher. This is not a testimony. But I would not have chosen this topic to talk to you about it, about worry and trusting God, unless I've had some personal experience in that department. Lately, my life has been a mess. 2010 brought some enormous worry situations for me. My husband of 35 years decided to leave, so I had to go through a divorce last year. I had to leave the family home we have set up. I had to move out and find a new place to live. Was it scary? My goodness, it was. I was terrified out of my wits. Being a fiercely independent person that I am, I really found it hard to let go and let God take absolute control. My pride had to go. My feel-good factor hit rock bottom. My confidence went. Did I worry? Of course. I spent sleepless nights. I gave my life to God over and over again. I cried out in desperation because there was nowhere else to go. And do you know, God brought out in my, what I thought was a barren land, that was my life last year. God opened up springs. Fantastic. Friends were fantastic. People from church were an enormous help. My home group supported me. My kids were wonderful. So I saw glimpses of the truth behind Isaiah's prophecy then. And to crown it all, God sent his special angel, one very, very special angel, Georgina, my granddaughter. When she looks at me with those great big eyes and giggles, my goodness, there is my spring. So people, God is alive. Jesus is alive. So trust. We are not promised as Christians. Christianity is not an insurance, but insurance away from worry and problems. But with God on our side, we can handle it.